Matthew chapter 1, we're picking it up in verse number 18. All right, let's go ahead and look at this together. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Isn't that a good place to say amen real quick? For he will save his people from their sins. Really, the big reason for the season is that Jesus, the Messiah, comes to save us from our sins. All of us have a sin problem. It's actually sin that sends us to an eternity away from God called hell. And Jesus said, I came to intercept. I came to save from sin. It would require a virgin birth. It would require a sinless life. It would require a sacrificial death on the cross. It would require a triumphal resurrection and ascension into heaven. And Jesus said, I came to do it all. And it's going to start right here. I came to be born. I came to save. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And now when you see a verse like this, verse 22, the prophet is referring to a scripture in the Old Testament, the left side of your Bibles. The prophet's name is Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, as Pastor Marvin just shared earlier before we sang Emmanuel, the verse reads like this. Verse 23 teaches us, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means, come on, say it with me, God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. I love this story. Every year, I try to get familiar again with the Christmas story. I don't want to just get consumed by trees and by lights and by presents and by certain songs and certain movies. I love the Christmas season and all that surrounds it. Can I say that? Especially the peppermint mocha. Come on, some all that stuff, right? It's just something about the Christmas season just gets me energized. But I want us to reach further than all of that and find Christ in the crowd and find the reason for the season and to see Jesus as big and more glorious and more beautiful and not so familiar, amen? Come on, familiarity, right, breeds contempt is what the proverb says. In other words, you could get so familiar with this story that you read it and it feels like you're reading kind of like a storybook that once moved you but no longer has the same effect. Don't be there. Try to read it with fresh eyes. Try to see the Christmas story anew again today. And not only that, one of the ways I think you could do that is to try to put yourself in the story, okay? Can you do that with me? Come on, I need a little feedback. Will you do that with me?
Yes.
All right, Matthew chapter 1, we see the author, Matthew, retelling the story. And here's what he's doing. He's really retelling it from Joseph's perspective. What's neat about the Christmas story in the Bible is in Matthew, you'll see it from Joseph's lens. In the Gospel of Luke, you'll see it from Mary's lens. In Mark and John, it's kind of a moment there where the authors more so just want to jump right into adult Jesus. They don't give a ton of attention to the virgin birth and to the actual Christmas story. But I praise God for Matthew and Luke, and that's what we're going to focus on primarily for the next few weeks. And today, I want to talk about how God is with us through Joseph's story and what was going on in his mind, in his heart, in his life, and why God with us really meant a lot. Let's look at this text one more time. Scripture says it like this, verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed, in other words, She was engaged to Joseph. She was getting ready to be legally married, but she was not there yet. So they had this long engagement, this pledge of betrothal. That just meant that they were committed to each other. They got the engagement ring form that had happened, but they're not living together. They're not sleeping together. They're not engaging in any sexual activity together. They're saying, hey, we're coming together toward that, but we have given that pledge. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's where they're at. They're getting ready for the wedding, and nothing can stress a couple out more than preparing for a wedding. Come on, amen? Oh, y'all acting like that wasn't you. Okay. Before they came together for this big moment, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, he resolved to divorce her quietly. So what is happening in this text? Well, from my understanding of just reading it, Joseph is engaged to Mary. This is a godly couple. They love the Lord. They know the Old Testament scriptures. They're familiar with the calling on their lives. They're familiar with the covenant of marriage, and they're prioritizing purity. And one day Joseph realizes, we don't know exactly how this conversation happened, but Mary's pregnant, and it's not by him. Can somebody say awkward? Very, right? And so Mary has this moment where she lets Joseph know, so, you know what I'm saying, so I'm pregnant. But it's not with anybody else. It's the Holy Spirit's fault, all right? And I don't care how much faith Joseph had. In this moment, Joseph goes, I ain't buying that. And so Joseph, in his just, humble frustration, says, I'm getting out of this potential marriage as soon as I can. We are getting a divorce. And you know what? I don't want no headlines, all right? Because the comment section is going to be really nasty. Amen. You ever see one of those posts on social media and you're like, I just want to look at the comments, right? The comments on this one would be wild. And I say that because they were in that culture. You know, Mary was thinking about what will people think. Joseph was concerned about what will people think. Even when Jesus was older, people were still making smart aleck comments about what they had thought actually happened. So the cost of this situation is very high. And not only that, Joseph's trying to figure out what just happened. Anybody like watching Christmas movies? Okay, I guess maybe not. My bad. I'm a big Christmas movie guy. Can I just tell you, a lot of Christmas movies are weird. Like, if you kind of pull yourself out of the storyline, you're like, whoa, that was, like, come on, name some of your favorite Christmas movies. A Christmas Story. Home Alone. Home Alone 2, yes. Hey, nobody says Home Alone 3, right? Elf, come on. Miracle on 34th Street. Let's go, right? George Bailey? I got to Google that one. Hallmark, I got it. All right. And there's all these, but even if you take, like, say Home Alone, if you take that for example, right? Like, this family leaves, they forget their, like, 8-year-old son, burglars come to the house on multiple nights and break it. This is a weird story. He constructs an incredible plan to, there's this old creepy dude with the beard, right? He's got the shovel. There's a lot of strange stuff. Like the movie, like the Grinch is a strange character, right? But what's my point? All of that, none of them as strange as this story. This is filled with drama. There's some scandalous vibes. There's some like, wait, what is happening? In other words, I love reading the Bible because it's so like action-packed, and it's so kind of keeps you on your toes a little bit. As you read, try to put yourself in it. Try to feel the awkwardness. Try to feel the pain. Try to feel the frustration. So that you can even put yourself in the story and feel. I'm trying to look at this from the lens of Joseph, and it really seems to be challenging. he decides, I'm going to divorce her quietly. But I don't want her to feel any shame about whatever she did. And so the scripture teaches us that while Joseph is there, I kind of just see him on his bed, all right? And I just see him considering. Look at the scripture says, while he considered these things. You ever just kind of lay down on your bed and just consider things? Maybe you should do that. Like, don't be so rushed that you get lost and don't consider all that God is doing. Can I tell you, God's doing a lot of stuff in your life and around your life and through your life. You got to just pause and consider. Sometimes it's in the considering that God will bring you a revelation. And Joseph's there and he's considering. And I think that he's having one of those moments, kind of like Kevin McAllister in the movie Home Alone. He's considering, right? I made my family disappear. I made my family disappear, right? And then of course he sees Uncle Frank. Look what you did, you little jerk. Been waiting to say that all week. You little jerk. Kevin, you're such a disease, right? And then he gets this idea and he runs out of the house and he, you know, steals a toothbrush randomly. Shoplifter. I watch it too much, I know. But I think Joseph's having a moment like this and he's considering. And what happens in the considering? He drifts off into a sleep. And while he's in this sleep, he's thinking, he's considering, Mary's saying, no, it was from the Holy Spirit. This angel appeared to me. And I wonder if Joseph goes, well, if that was true, then that angel can appear to me. If he told her that, then he, you know, maybe. And I wonder if he just drifts into sleep. And look at verse 23, 22 and 23, it says, all this took place. The angel appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Come on, three words that are important for you to hear this Christmas season. Do not fear. Let this Christmas season be one that squelches the spirit of fear of whatever you have. To take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So the angel shows up and confirms what Mary testifies. And then she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. So not only that, but the angel gives Joseph the authoritative right to name him Jesus. And then he pronounces he will save his people from their sins. I wonder if Joseph wakes up and he thinks, she wasn't lying. But not only that, I wonder if his mind and his heart drift back to Isaiah 7 because he knows the old covenant and he knows that one day God will send a Messiah through the line of David who will be born of a virgin. This promise is on its way. And then I wonder if Joseph goes, and it's Mary? My fiance is the mom of the Messiah? And he has a perspective change, right? And then he realizes that prophecy says these three words. Baby shall be called Emmanuel, a nickname, which means God with us. And I think the idea of God being with Joseph changed everything, as I believe it should do for you. Today, if you walk out of here and you just say, man, that God with us message was good on the screen, but it doesn't land in your heart, you missed it. In fact, let me put a reality statement up here because I want to work off this statement for the next few weeks. And my prayer is by the end of this month, we just know it to be true for me and for you. Amen. Here's the reality statement. God with us is a reality to experience, not just a statement to read. Just going to pause for about 3 seconds. Did it make it to you? God with us, that idea, those three words, God with you, is not just something you go, yeah, that's in the Bible. I know that. I believe that. It's true. It's on there. I can read it. No, it's not just something you read. It's something you experience. Hear me, Walk Church. I want you to experience the with us. I pray that when you get to your car, you realize God's with you in the car. And when you make it and you open up your house or apartment or wherever it is that you live, you recognize that God's with you there. And as you're considering these things in your bed, he's with you there. And this starts to become a with us lifestyle where it's no longer, hey, God, I'll see you next Sunday. But it's, hey, God, I'll see you as I walk this life out with you. You know, a verse of scripture that's always perplexed me is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. I want to show it to you on the screen. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And actually the next verse, if you went to the next verse, it goes on to say this, it says, and pray without ceasing. And pray without ceasing. Oh, verse 17, my bad. Verse 17. And I've thought, how do you pray without ceasing? Does anybody know how to do that? If you do, you should write the book on it. The only way that I can think, how do you pray without ceasing, is to have a strong God with us, a God with us mentality. To be able to say, hey, I'm not just praying at a prayer meeting. I'm praying all the time. Why? Because he's with me. And not only is he with me, but he's listening to me and he wants to hear me. So this God with us has moved me to say three things that I want to leave you with here today. And we'll try to move swiftly through these three. If you're ready, say ready. The first one is this: God with us provides clarity in chaos. God with us, my prayer is that this reality would provide a sense of clarity for you in your chaos. I'm not going to do a show of hands, but is anybody walking through any type of chaos? If you are, give me a Okay, you have some chaos in your life. I feel good because I'm not alone, all right? Let me define the word chaos. Here's what chaos is. Chaos, by definition, is complete disorder and confusion. I'm sure that there's something in your life that's inviting confusion. There's something that you're dealing with in your life that's inviting this sense of, this isn't really in order. Or maybe you envisioned by December 10th, things were going to look different or feel different. And there's something that's just not quite right and it's not sitting with you well. Can I just tell you, God with us provides clarity in the chaos. How do I know? Well, because nobody is experiencing more chaos than Joseph right now. I'm sure you got your fair share. But my man Joseph is trying to figure out if he's going to get married or not and if he's going to choose to adopt the baby that is God with us. Amen. And I think that Joseph saying, this is out of order. Maybe Joseph and Mary like went on a date night to like a pita shop. And I wonder if they were having one of these conversations like a lot of like younger engaged couples do. So when do you want to have kids? I think we should like wait a few years, babe. Yeah, no doubt. Let's travel the world, right? Maybe something like that. And then the next day, that whole plan got blown up. Because they was about to start with a baby. And it wasn't Joseph's, but Joseph took on the responsibility to adopt a baby that wasn't even his. And Joseph said, you know what? God's going to provide clarity in the chaos. Why? Because God is with us. I love that thought right there. There's something about the fact that if God's with me, who can be against me? If God is with me, I have everything that I need. Not only does God with us provide clarity in the chaos, I believe God with us provides confidence in the calling. I'm giving you a few C's, all right? Come on, note takers. God with us provides a sense of confidence in the calling. Can I give you my favorite definition for confidence? Come on, I'm talking to you. We're having a conversation here. Go ahead. Confidence. Come on, read this with me off the screen. I want you to read it, hear it with your voice. The feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something. Firm trust. Woo! I feel like preaching the definition right here. What is confidence? It's a feeling. It's a belief that you can rely on someone. Can I tell you? That's true for God. I don't know how your trust level is for the Lord. I hope it's firm. Why? Because he's with you. Amen. I'll clap with that. The feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something. Nobody's more reliable than God. And if God is with you, friend, listen to me. You can be confident. I think something about Joseph where he's considering these things and he dozes off into sleep and he has this moment, a conversation with the angel of the Lord, and the angel says, no, this is what's going to happen, Joseph. And it's going to be a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7. And this son is going to be the savior of the world. And he's going to save his people from their sins. And you're going to be the one that names him Jesus, which means savior. And Joseph wakes up. And you know what? He wakes up more confident. He's still got a chaotic situation. He still has a very wild calling. And yet, it says, and he got up and he took Mary as his wife and he named the baby Jesus. Something about that idea that God is with him gave him confidence. I was thinking about this just last night. I had a moment and was invited to a friend of ours who's part of our church family, my bro Joe. He's one of the original Jabberwockies. I'm not going to try to dance. That's not my calling. All right. I'm not confident in that calling. But he invited Nina and I and our boys, him and his wife Ning. We're celebrating 20 years with the Jabberwockies. Come on, we celebrate that. To do anything for 20 years is really fascinating. And so praise God, they said you can bring your kids. So I was like, all right. So I grabbed two of our oldest boys, came with me, and I realized as we're pulling up to the Cosmopolitan Hotel, I think this is the first time I've taken my two sons to the hotel. So we're like pulling up and we're like driving by the Excalibur. I'm like, that's a real castle right there. Like, that's where Bowser lives. No, I'm just playing. But I'm like showing them the lights and they're like, there's people everywhere. This is crazy. I'm like, yeah, you live in Las Vegas. It's so cool. We like pull up to the hotel and one of my sons says, hey, Dad, what if this isn't a good thing? And I said, what do you mean? It's definitely a good thing. We're celebrating. And he goes, well, what if it doesn't go well? And I'm like, what are you thinking about right now? And he goes, if for some reason it doesn't go well, will you leave us there? I was like, no. What type of conversation? What are you considering? It's like a bizarre conversation. And I said, I'm going to be with you the whole time. Not only that, you're going to be with me. And there's going to be some good food and stuff. All right, so get out of the car. Let's go. Right? And the reality that I was with them and they were with me was the confidence they needed to be able to get out of the car and have a good time. And of course, come on. It was me that was like, all right, y'all, we have to go now. We have to go. Y'all have to get up and we have to go. Right. In other words, you're going to enjoy whatever God calls you to do. It's going to be a good thing, whatever God calls you to do. It's going to be for you. Now, you might not know what will happen in the moment. You might be a little concerned. You might be a little scared. Hey, the angel says to Joseph, don't be afraid. Fear not. God's with you. If God's with you, you got, friend, listen to me. You got everything you need. What does that do? That just gives you confidence. God's got a calling on each one of our lives. Did you hear that? I want everybody just look at me. I can't really see you because there's a lot of lights, but I hope you can see me. I'm looking at you. I promise you. I got crazy eyes. I want you to see me and I want you to believe me. I want you to hear me. God has a calling on your life. I don't believe when God was divvying out calling, he just decided to skip you. No. God has calling on your lives. from the youngest person to the oldest person in this room, I really believe God has a calling on your life. He's given you gifts. He's given you ambition. He's given you dreams. He's given you skill. Can I just say he's giving it to you too, by the way? We're called to steward the gifts that he's given us. Check out last week's sermon, right? He's given Joseph a calling here. He's given Mary a calling here. What you do with your calling matters. And I just believe this. When you realize God's with you, you can be confident in the calling. Amen. You can be confident in the calling. I think when God placed this call on Nina and I and realized, you know what? God's calling us to start a new church here in Las Vegas. And it's called Walk Church. And it means everybody's got a next step and we're trying to walk it out and follow Jesus. And no place would let us meet in their facility until, praise God, Schofield Middle School said we could. There was so much unsurety about what God was calling us to, but we were confident that it was God that was calling us to do it. And can I just tell you, if God's calling you to do it, he's going to provide everything you need to bring you through it. I believe that today, Walk Church. I hope you do. That's Joseph's story, amen? Joseph didn't know how he was going to get to Bethlehem or God was going to provide the inn or the wise men were already planning on showing up. Come on, God knew and he just needed to be with him. Let me give you the third and final point. We'll be done here today. I believe that God with us provides clarity in our chaos, provides confidence in our calling. And the last one, it provides calm in the commotion. The fact that God is with you calms the commotion. I tell athletes all the time, find Christ in the crowd. And friend, this season in your life, find Christ in the crowd. Come on, find him at the shopping center, the mall, the Uber, the traffic. Maybe what if the traffic is just a reminder of God saying, slow down and talk to me. Consider these things, right? Calm in the commotion. Let me define commotion. What is commotion? Commotion is a noisy disturbance. Come on, anybody ever have noisy disturbance? Okay, cool. I'm glad I'm not alone. Hey, listen, that social media timeline can be a noisy disturbance. That news channel that you listen to every morning could be a noisy disturbance. I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying that we have the temptation to have noise all around us. Can I tell you the most noisy disturbance can sometimes just be your own heart? Because our hearts are idol factories trying to reach and grab onto and cling to. It says our hearts are sick and desperately broken. Our hearts are deceived, so our hearts will just jump at anything. That's why we got to guard our hearts. Put a fence of God's word around your heart. It says guard your heart. It says discipline your heart. Put some scripture on your heart. Because there's so much noisy disturbance. I feel like in this season of life, I feel like there's noisy disturbance everywhere. And I have to believe that was true for Joseph and Mary. As I look at Joseph and Mary's story, I wonder if they're thinking, what's my mom gonna think? Joseph, what's your mom gonna think? What is the city, what's Bethlehem gonna think? I'm gonna be on the news. I'm gonna be trending. Right? Mary's like, Joseph's like, what are my friends? Come on, do you ever think, what are other people going to think? We probably think that too much, don't we? Can I just tell you, God brings calm in the commotion. Eliminate the what will they think and get back to what will he think. And can I just tell you, if you know Jesus today, he's proud of you. If you know Jesus today as your Savior, just know that he's cheering for you. But he's not cheering from the stands. He's with you. I love this quote from Henry Blackaby. He says it like this. Blackaby says, we should thank God for being with us, not ask him to be with us. This is always a given. In other words, it's not like I had to change my prayer a few years back. I used to like pray prayers of invitation. Lord, we invite you to join us. And God was like, I've been here before you. God, I felt like the Lord was like, I invited you. What do you mean you invite me? And what I had to shift to is instead of inviting, I started to acknowledge. Wow, God, you're with me. God, I just want to acknowledge you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. God, you're with me. I'm just going to keep acknowledging your presence. You ever been with somebody? Come on. Amen. You ever been hanging around somebody? How weird would it be if they just never acknowledged you? You're like, I'm with you. Are you going to introduce me too? Hi. Hello. God's like, I'm with you. Are you going to acknowledge me today? I mean, I've been with you literally all day. You've yet to acknowledge me once. God with us. Why am I trying to emphasize this point to the almost annoying level? Because I don't want it to just be something you read. Yes, God with us. We know, Pastor, we've read it 100 times, but have you experienced it? The best gift of all is his presence. God with us. What was the thing, Walk Church? What was the thing that helped Joshua get the baton from Moses? Moses, right? The great Moses who led the people out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness. They finally make it to the promised land. Moses dies and says, God appoints Joshua to be the next leader of the people of Israel. As Moses closes his eyes, Joshua chapter 1. Come on, what does verse 9 say? Joshua 1:9. Look at this verse with me. God says 3 times to Joshua, Joshua, listen to me. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God he's with you. Where? Wherever you go. And you know what Joshua got? Confidence. He got a little more calm. Joshua, there's a big battle. I know, I'm calm. I'm confident. I'm called. I'm clear. Because God's with me. And not only is he with me, he's for me. Brothers and sisters, he's for you. You could say, man, but I got a lot of sin in my life. So did they. And God is with you. Through Jesus. That's why we love Christmas. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us. And thank you for being with us. God, we know that apart from you, we can't do a thing. But God, apart from you, we don't want to do a thing. So we acknowledge you today. And God, we just ask you right now in this moment, was all heads bowed and all eyes closed, would you pray with me? Would you just acknowledge his presence? Even if you haven't done it in a long time, right now, he's with you. Call on his name, say, Lord. Even if you just do it silently, just pray with me right now. Just say, Lord, I believe in you. And I need you. Forgive me for my sins. I turn away from the things that are holding me back. And today I acknowledge your presence and your goodness. God, give me clarity in my chaos. God, give me confidence in my calling. God, give me calm. Oh Lord, calm in the commotion. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate that right here today.